Welcome everyone, welcome Ashwood, welcome those that are joining us for the first time or for the second or third. It's great to welcome you. My name is Bob and welcome to my office. Today I'm going to be following on our series on Who is God? Now Matt started us off perfectly last week, helping us to explore our perspective. The way that we look at things will view how we relate to them, what we believe about them. And so today we're going to start to unpack our perspective. We're going to start to unpack who God truly is. And this is our part two. So we just had our reading from Exodus 34, the Lord Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh, compassionate, gracious God. Now, you may have spotted that second verse. Don't worry, we are going to get to that later in. And it is basically, we're going to help you to put some perspective on it. It's not as scary and as weird as it sounds. There is actually hope and goodness that comes through it. So please do bear with us. Keep joining us on this. But today I want to focus on the first few words. The Lord Yahweh. Now this is going to be one simple thing that could actually radically alter how we relate to God. Now what do I mean? What is this going to be? Is this going to be some task that I'm going to have to do? No, this is a simple idea that all of us should be able to relate to because we've all got one already. This simple idea is a name, and that name is Yahweh. We'll get on to why it's YHWH in a little bit, but we've all got a name. We all know that they exist, and God has a name. And so we're going to explore what God's name is today. Because there's power in names. In the Bible, there are various people that it shows so much significance. It's like an autobiography of their life. Like Abraham was known as Abraham. He was exalted father. That's what his name means. But he actually got his name changed by God to be Abraham, which means father of many nations. Because Abraham wasn't just going to be someone of small significance, just an exalted father. He was going to be a father to many. And he's listed in the genealogy, so the going back, who was the dad of the dad of the dad for Jesus. So the names have significance. Jacob was known as heel grabber. That's what his name stands for. And if you read about his life, that's all he ever did. He was grabbing at the heels of people, at his brother, just like he did when he was born. Now, some of you might also know my name is Andrew. That's my real name. That's the name my mum gave me. Hi, mum. Welcome. Now, Andrew means manly, masculine. Does it suit me? I'm not so sure. But I do know that the name that I now go by, the name that I received when I was 12 years old, Bob. Now, it was in a school play. It was a character I played, but it made so much sense to me that I kept it. And you know what Bob means? It means bright fame. Now, my whole life since I became a Christian at 16 is to shine the love of Jesus, to shine the light of Jesus into people's lives and situations. I love to go around and share Jesus with as many people that will listen. And so bright fame, I want to make Jesus famous. I want to be a light into this dark world and to make Jesus known. So there's power in names. What you call somebody shows your relationship with them. I don't go and call my wife, oh, Rebecca Goodie. It's a bit odd, isn't it? I call her my wife. Now, if you came round my house and walked up to Beck and said, ah, wife, how are you doing? I would be a bit put off and she would probably not like it either. Because names have significance. What we call people has significance. Some of you, many of you, that I know are watching are my friends. And so I call you friends. Names have power and significance. It shows our relation to people in the way that we use them. But people don't just find out who we are just by our name. But in relationship, we reveal parts of ourselves bit by bit by bit. Now, God has been called a lot of things. I'm sure many of you have called him a lot of things over the years. One of the things he's called is El Shaddai, which is God Almighty. God is going, he is El, but he is even bigger than any other El ever. He is God, God. Not one of these little gods. He is the God. It also says a lot of times in the Old Testament, the God of. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of my father, the God of, the God of, the God. Now, that's not his name. It's not what he is known by. Some of you might even call him fake news. He's not fake news. He is true. Feel free to message some of us and ask, "What? How do you know that God is real?" I would be happy to tell you why I know God is real. But that's not his name. That's not my name. Hey, that's not my name. Anyway. Back in Exodus 3, God reveals his name for the first time. He reveals it to Moses when he's at the burning bush. And he's about to be sent off on this task. And so Moses says, "What if they ask, what is his name? What shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." What? That's a bit of an odd name. I am who I am. But that is God's name. You're to tell them that I am, has sent me to you. But God also said, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." God has a name. And his name is I am what I am. Now, it's a bit of a strange one, but it actually sums up clearly who God is. Now, if you go back to the original, it's actually Haya Asher Haya. So imagine you're doing your Joe Wicks, so weekday morning, Haya! Yep. Haya Asher Haya. I am who I am. Or Yahweh is what they shortened it to. But they actually thought there's a bit more reverence we need to give God. And so they didn't like to use Yahweh that often. And back then they didn't even have the consonants to put in the vowels to put in the middle. And so it was just YHWH. But then they were like, no, we can't call him by his first name. But God had revealed it to them. He was happy to be in relationship with them, for them to call him by his name. Now it says, one of the ways to translate this Hebrew phrase is, I am, is whatever I am, I will be. Which means that whatever God is like, he is that way consistently. That's what it means when God says, I am what I am. What I am, what I say I am, that I am good, that I am just, that I am merciful, that I am loving, that I'm kind, compassionate. That is who he is, forever and ever and will be. He will never falter or change or stumble from that. God is who he says he is. It's showing us his characteristic, who God truly is. And so he reveals this name, Haya, or Yahweh. But as I said, they didn't like to call him that often. And so they changed it to Adonai, which means Lord, or the Lord. Like sometimes if you've got a Bible, you'll see big T, big L. That means the Lord, Yahweh, I am what I am, Haya Asher Haya. They wanted to find a way that they could relate to God without using this Haya. And so they called him Adonai, that he is the Lord, the one that is, the one that will always be. But you'll see that Adonai actually has the A, the O and the H in it. And if we add that into the Yahweh, the YHWH, we get Yahweh. Now, have you ever heard anyone call God Yahweh? No, I've not either. But I have heard them call him Jehovah. Because in that language, the Y and the W, they didn't pronounce them as Ys and Ws. They pronounced them as Js and Vs. And therefore, some of you will know that some people call God Jehovah. Jehovah, Jehovah. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But God has this name. He's revealed this name to people because in the same way, God wants to be called by his name, not a title. Like, I don't want to be called Sir by my friends. I don't want to be called Sir by my family. What I want to be called is by my name. And God was exactly the same. God has a name, Jehovah, Adonai, I am what I am. Haya. Maybe that's something that you want to start trying to use. rather than just using other words or characteristics of God, maybe we should try using God's name, because he wants to be known by us. So God wants to be known by his name. But he also came himself to be with us. He didn't just want to be this distant person that spoke through a burning bush, or spoke on top of mountains, or spoke in the still quietness. But God wanted to be known. And so we have the incredible privilege that Jesus came. God in human form. God has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus actually says in John 17 verse 6 that I've spelled out your character in detail. He's telling God his Father that I've spelled out your name. I've said that I am what I am is here. I've shown them that you are gracious and compassionate, that you are loving, kind, gentle, caring, that you have a plan to prosper and not to harm. But knowing God isn't just about knowing a bunch of facts about God, but he's a person that wants to be in relationship with you and with me. Comer says this: all of this leads to a vision of a God who responds, who's open to our ideas, he's dynamic, he's involved in our lives, but not in control. He's not in that automated, what's going to happen with or without kind of way. God is more of a friend than a formula to us. God wants to be involved in our lives because he is good, he is gracious, he is loving, and importantly, he's forgiving. But how can we be in that relationship with this God that has a name? This God who sent his own son, Jesus, to reveal more, to give us that new perspective on this God. Well, how can we be in that relationship? Well, we need to talk to him. How do I get to know Beck better? How do I get to know you better? It's talking. It's spending time in conversation. It's spending time with them. Sometimes it's just sitting in the presence of God. Now, talking to God isn't just a weird abstract thing. There's no formula that you have to follow. If you've never prayed, maybe today is the day that you want to try it. Say Jehovah, say Adonai, say God. This is who I am. Tell him about your day. Tell him about the struggles that you're having. Because that's what I do in relationship with my friends and my family. I tell them when I'm struggling. I tell them when I need help. I rejoice with them in the good things. God wants that exact same relationship with us. And we can only get that by spending time with him, talking to him, and acting on it. We've actually got to be a bit proactive in this. God isn't in that controlling form of relationship with us. He's a God that is waiting desperately, desperately for us to speak to him. He's waiting for us to come to him, the God that created us, the God that made us so unique, the God that made this entire universe and world to sustain us. But we need to do something about it. God's not going to force himself on us. But God cannot wait for that day that you use his name, that you come before him and just start having that conversation. And as we start to realise this God is in a relationship with us, this God has a name, his name is Jesus, we start to realise that, oh, there are things that I do that aren't quite right, that are displeasing to him. And we might start to ask forgiveness, because God wants to forgive. He's quick to forgive. That's why he sent Jesus, so we could be forgiven people in a relationship with him. Not that we become perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I still do things wrong. But I know this God that has a name, the God that is always good, the God that is always just, the God that is always kind, the God that is always loving, is ready to go, Bob, you're forgiven. Forget about all that stuff now. Let's just carry on this relationship. Let's get closer as friends. Now it says in James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is. When I talk to friends, things happen, things change. They support, they love, they act on the things that I say, and God is no different. The prayer of us, because we are righteous people, it just means that we are set right, that we're forgiven, that the things that we do wrong are set right, and that we can move on from that. That the prayer of us is powerful and effective. God is waiting for us to pray. And he's waiting for us to pray in Jesus' name. God's name is powerful. And I believe God is Jesus. God in human form, come to be with us. To show us that there is hope, that there is life in all its fullness, that there is forgiveness, and that in the midst of loneliness and isolation, I know there are many people that are probably watching this that you might have been sat on your own and not seen another person's face apart from on a camera for a few weeks now. But you know what? God wants you to know that he is there with you. That God knows your name. And he wants you to know his name too. That he is a God that forever will be. I am what I am. Haya asher aha. That he is there for you and for me. He is quick to forgive, quick to love. So God has a name. Why don't we try using that today? And so I just want us to remember this, that the future is not set in stone. The prayers we pray, the decisions we make in the here and now, have a direct line of sight effect on what does or does not happen down the line. God is interested in us. God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants to forgive us, to walk with us through good, through bad, through the middle, through the ugly, through whatever period of life we're in. God wants to be with us in it. So why don't we just spend a few moments just praying, saying, God, I'm sorry. God, let me be in a relationship with you. Help me to know who you truly are. So let me pray for us. So God, we thank you that you have a name. That your name is I am what I am. That is your characteristic. That is your nature. That is who you are. That you are unchanging. And that as you say that you are who you are, that when you say that you are good, we know that you are good. You say you are loving, so we know that you are loving. You say that you forgive. And so, Father, we thank you that you forgive. You are Adonai, the Lord. You are Jehovah. And so, Father, today, would you just speak to us? May you help us to grow deeper in a relationship with you. May we be able to speak to you about the good, the bad, and the indifferent. May we spend time sat in your presence. And may we come to know you more and more as you love us. And Father, for those of us that don't quite know you yet or are starting out on this journey, Father, I pray that you would reveal something fresh by your Holy Spirit. That you would reveal more of your life and life in all its fullness. And so, Father, we're sorry for the things that we've done or said or thought that don't quite line up to the way that you would want us to live. But we thank you that in Jesus there is complete forgiveness because of his perfect life, his death and his resurrection. So Holy Spirit, would you make us new, make us clean? We thank you that you are interested in us, that you know our names. And thank you that we can know you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you for joining. Hopefully it's not been a bit of an overload. There's a lot to try and take in and comprehend, but just know that God has a name, that God is Jesus, that he longs to be in relationship with us, that he loves us, and that he's just waiting and waiting for us to go, we love you too, and to be in a relationship with him.